Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hour number two here on Tiki and Tierney. Coming to you from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios, who understands it's not just a mortgage, but it's your mortgage. That's the difference. Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. I was proud that, some things are hereditary, some things are learned. I don't know where this behavior actually applies because I don't think he really would have fully remembered last Valentine's Day. He was a little bit too young. It's certainly not hereditary, but I did look in the box of chocolates, and there were a couple that were bitten and then stuffed back in. So he didn't like, Kinsey didn't do that. But Colton took a few bites. Nah, whatever that red stuff is, I don't like it. Where's the caramel? Where's the nougat? So happy Valentine's Day to everybody.
He's got
to
learn how to read.
Got to learn how to read it. That's true.
You can read, just pull out the sheet.
Well, no, not only that, you can actually, by design,
true.
You can tell.
That's true.
Can certainly
actually
tell.
Read the shape and the... whatever's on the
of course
the top of it.
You're talking about that little white thing.
Yeah,
that actually,
they had the little card.
Yeah, that thing was ripped up immediately as the box was ripped open.
Nobody's ever looked at that thing ever.
I have.
Really?
I actually have. It's strategic. I mean, it's perfect.
I hear you.
I mean,
it's nicer than just an experiment.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like the candies that the kids get that they have whatever. It's like anything flavors.
Yeah.
So you get like puke flavor,
but what
jelly
do you guys,
beans.
What
stuff.
Do you guys do? Oh, yeah, that's right. Some of those jelly beans are horrendous.
They're gross.
What do you guys do? How liberal are you with the candy? Are you one of these sets of parents that
no.
don't let them have anything?
No.
Okay,
there's candy always in the house. So here's the thing. Brooklyn used to not be able to get it.
Okay.
Because it was on like the middle shelf. Now we had to put it on the top shelf.
Yeah,
but now
she
can still get up there and get it.
Yeah.
She's like, she's doing competitive cheer. So she's like a gymnast these days.
Yeah.
So we're just like, all right, whatever. Just tell me. Just tell me you're going to get it so I can police it.
Yeah, I hear you.
Because otherwise, she's going to go do it behind our back.
Exactly. It starts with candy, then it starts with other stuff.
You're right. Sneaking out, going to be her boyfriend. Wait, what?
I never had the gumption to even try to sneak out of my house. Did you? You were Rondi.
No, I didn't have to because my mom trusted us. She let us go out.
I'm up to about like 2-3 in the morning when you're...
If we told her where we were going... As long as it wasn't school night, my mom would let us be out.
If your mom was asleep and you knocked on her door.
Yeah.
And you said, Mom, it's...
Now, look, we weren't getting in trouble, so she knew that. We were like...
But it's still late, dangerous out there for a 15-year-old.
No, not 15.
Well, that's what
I'm talking about like 17 when I could, drive. Actually, 16. As soon as I could drive.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. My mom was like, just tell me where you are.
Really?
So, going over to my girlfriend's house.
Oh, yeah. Look at T making those midnight trips, huh? All right. So the Celtics last night. The Celtics had a nice win, double overtime. And, I'm riding the Clippers till the end of this thing. If the Clippers are down 3-1 in the Western Conference Finals against the Lakers or the Nuggets or whomever, I'm still going to say the Clippers are going to get their act together.
Yes.
Doesn't mean internally I'm not a little shaken or at least a little aware that things aren't going quite as well as I would have hoped at this point to be so married to it. What did you take away from last night?
First of all, Jason Tatum's a stud.
Oh, yeah. Well, we knew that.
We knew it, but, he's really becoming a stud. I read this article.
Because Kyrie's gone.
Well, because Kyrie's gone, but there was this interesting article. I forgot who wrote it now. I wish I could. I'll accredit it at some point. But he was talking about how Jason Tatum is not only a superstar, but he's like our guy, like in Boston. Like, kind of Kyrie was a star, but he never became like their guy.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference.
You mean for the fans or the locker room?
Like the fans.
Oh,
like the
okay.
fans. Like Larry
so like
Bird.
Like a big poppy. Like
yes,
that kind of a
exactly.
brand. Gotcha.
Like Larry Bird was our dude, man.
Uh-huh.
And,
yeah, yeah.
and he was a superstar.
Yeah.
And Big Poppy was our dude, man. And he was also a superstar. The Celtics haven't had one in a long time. This article was attesting.
Well, they didn't reference Pierce. Pierce wasn't their dude.
Well, they did.
Paul
but they
Pierce
said
was
it,
an assassin.
They said it was complicated with Paul Pierce.
Why?
Because he was often sullen. Like, he wasn't fun a lot of the time. And he was playing
on bad teams early with
Walker. And that's part of it.
Walker.
And that's part of it.
Antoine.
He was on some really bad
teams.
They were bad. And KG, even, who, is was the man, he was at the end of his career.
No, it doesn't count.
So it doesn't count. And so it's like, dude, Jason Tatum could be our guy and a superstar, which is interesting when you think about it, especially in context of last night against the Clippers. Now, we'll focus on the Clippers because they're the interesting team because of the expectation that was heaped upon them as soon as Kawhi and Paul George joined the squad. Now, I keep going back to this conversation that we had with Channing Frye, and he's right in that they haven't played a lot together, Kawhi and Paul and the whole team out in L.A., and it's given them the chance to build, like, bench minutes and experience and clutchness in some of these players who, if Kawhi and Paul George were playing, you know, all 82 games, or even if they were playing, like, 75 games, that they wouldn't be able to get. And so in some ways, though, I'm with you, right? I'm not sure they're going to win the championship, but I'm not worried about this two-game losing streak that they're on, or the fact that they're, you know, they can't, like, get it done when it matters in crunch time yet. It's almost like they're playing possum in a sense, but unintentionally, because we know Kawhi's on maintenance days. Paul George, and this might becoming concerning. He's one thing or another, he keeps getting injured.
He does.
Started it with his shoulder at the beginning of the season. Then he had, an ankle or a knee? I can't remember what it was in the middle, a few weeks ago. And now he's got the hamstring injury, which is, you know, could be nothing or it could be you're out for 2 weeks. Right?
I'd say I'd rather have what he has than what Damian Lillard had the other night.
No doubt.
That looked a lot worse.
Yeah, the groin?
Yeah,
without a doubt. But still, it's like almost unintentionally, they're making teams feel comfortable that they're not the team. But because we know when they all get together, and if they're all healthy, that's an if. But if they're all healthy, this in a seven-game series, I don't care how good Jason Tatum plays or whoever else plays, this team's going to be trouble. So it's almost like unintentionally they're allowing – like this perception about them to start to fester, this doubt that they can actually be that team start to fester, when in reality, it's probably not going to be the case.
You know, we got lucky, too, because based on the timing here, with the All-Star break upon us here, there were, I mean, maybe you could count this. I don't have the box score in front of me. There had to be at least eight players that played 40-plus minutes.
That's right.
Seven or eight, minimum seven.
Yeah. And it was only two games, so like you were watching this one.
Oh, yeah. I know Lou Williams played his 40. Kawhi played 40. Tatum played 40. These 40-plus. Harrell played 40. Everybody, Paul George only played 15. You know, the thing about, it's funny because this is about the Clippers, but I want to flip it to the Celtics for a second because we've glossed over them a lot this year.
That's right.
We've talked about the Sixers and, well, maybe we need to stop wasting everybody's time talking about them.
Yeah.
It's a disservice to our audience because, no, they're not relevant. Now they're becoming relevant again. I still don't fully believe in them, but they've had some nice wins where you have to throw them back in the conversation. You talk about all the teams out west that we talk about. You talk about Zion Williamson, who was great again last night. One thing I want to point out about the Celtics with Kemba Walker. And, you know, if I didn't see it with my own eyes and I just read about it, I would say this is the stuff of legend, and there's no way this actually happened. 2011 at UConn, and I was at all five games. The first one was against Pitt when he crossed up. I forget one of their big men. It wasn't Steven Adams. Steven was there before that. It was somehow it was a mismatch, and he drained the jump shot. Long story short, he led UConn to the five straight wins to win the Big East tournament, and then six straight wins to win the NCAA championship in 2011. Kemba's got, I know it's about Tatum, and I get your point about Tatum. Kemba Walker is the kind of guy, because we haven't seen him play in big games in the NBA, we just haven't.
Yep.
Kemba Walker's the kind of player with the heartbeat and blocking out the noise who can hit a dagger or two at the buzzer. I'm going to start looking at the Celtics as a team that might be able to emerge from the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, he's the star that we just didn't watch enough because he was in Charlotte. It's like, okay, great. I know he's an all-star and he's, you know, deserves to be one of the most talked about players in the NBA, but he's in Charlotte and they're not even winning. He was phenomenal, but they're not even winning. So you didn't get it. Like, you didn't know that unless you remember him from college. But the Celtics, I mean, look, they're 38-16. They compete every night. They're never a no-show, right? Some of these other teams, like the 76ers that we talk about way too much, they no-show every other, you know, road game that they play. The Celtics aren't that. Mm-hmm. That's the one thing you got to give Brad Stevens credit for, is how he gets these guys prepared and sans the Kyrie Irving, melees that they were stuck in for a couple of seasons. This feels more like the Celtics as we expected from a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
But when you flip this back to the Clippers, BT, like, the Paul George thing is going to become, I think, an issue if this lingers here. You know my philosophy on guys who just can't stay healthy.
You sit in the room with one every day.
Right.
Me.
Bad sales guy. Right?
Always hurt.
Guy's got bad sales. He gets hurt all the time,
yep.
Even if it's like this one, nondescript. 15 minutes in, he pulls his hamstring. It's gotten to the point that even his head coach, Doc Rivers, is a little bit concerned.
Paul missed 9 straight games with that strained left hamstring. Yeah. Are you worried about the
injury? Yeah, I'm a little concerned, you know, about that one, because that's the I think it's the second time now, maybe third.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what to do, but I know rest you have to do, and we'll see.
How detrimental is it, BT, for a guy who, because it was his hand, I thought it was his knee, but it was actually his hamstring that he missed 9 games before. Like, how detrimental is it for a guy's conditioning in the NBA to just hurt his hamstring, which is important when you're running, especially up and down the court, especially as the games get more intense, and then you're not available until you get closer to the postseason, and all of a sudden you jump back in, you're going to be okay? Like, the one thing I know, that because I used to pull my hamstrings all the time in high school, like, even when you're healthy, you're not, because you're thinking about it, right? It's one of those injuries. It's not, oh, you're healed, it's fine.
Oh.
It's like, dude, am I going to do this again?
Yep.
Right?
And pull hamstrings, no joke.
It's the hardest.
No joke.
It's the hardest one.
No
because
joke.
You constantly think about or worry about doing it again.
No, exactly what you mean.
So,
exactly what you mean. You're better equipped to answer that as a former athlete in the room, but I would just say that it's going to be easier for somebody like George to navigate than, say, somebody like Embiid or Jokic, where if you can't run, if you have to remain stationary, you very well could put on 8-9 pounds. Cardiovascularly, you go down the tubes and you kind of play and catch up the rest of the way. I think he's got the type of body that he'll be fine. And he's still young enough.
Yeah.
But no, Doc is right. That was a very transparent answer.
Wow.
He's worried.
I didn't even realize this. You look at this injury since 2018. Hamstring, obviously, a lot of 2020. The shoulder for 2019. And then quad contusion, the knee. I mean, he's been banged up a lot. It's not even counting.
It's only 2 years, by the way.
I agree. This is not
even his whole career.
This is not counting the what was it? Tib fib
with Team USA.
Yeah, he did tib fib. Was that just one? I think he did both. Whatever it was, his lower leg injury, broken bone, that took him a long time. Maybe it all stems from that. To be honest with you. You know what I mean? You come back and you have to work differently, and I don't know. It's starting to be a little bit concerning.
Mm.
At the end of the day, I believe that they'll be okay.
Yep.
I believe that this is actually like not a negative sign on this team, because they are so good when they're all healthy. But this is concerning a little bit.
Are you prepared to throw the Celtics into the deeper end of the pool now?
Maybe. But I worry about a big. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, even the 76ers. Like, if Joel Embiid decides to impose his will in a game against the Celtics.
No, they have such a size advantage.
Exactly.
You got to bring Taco Fall?
I mean, maybe.
You got to dust him off.
What's he playing? Like a minute?
The G League,
Two minutes. When he's up. I mean, they're not big.
No.
That worries me. They could have used Horford.
Yeah, kept him.
Especially because Horford's coming off the bench now.
Oh, God, he has not played well for the Sixers.
No.
All right, you got some questions for Martin Truex. You're more of a NASCAR fan than me.
Of course I do.
But it's a big race coming up this weekend, and he's one of the best. Martin Truex will join us next here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
It's O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stop in today for store-wide savings, plus earn double O'Rewards points on all sale items like wiper blades, motor oil, tools, accessories, and more. Not an O'Rewards member yet? Head to O'ReillyAuto.com or visit in-store to sign up today and take advantage of Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's fast, easy, and free. But hurry, double points are only available for a limited time. Also, for a limited time, save 15% when you buy any set of Brake Best pads and 2 Brake Best rotors. So when your car isn't stopping like it used to, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the brake parts and supplies you need to do the job right the first time. O'Reilly Auto Parts will help make your auto repair, maintenance, and restoration projects easier. So stop in today or visit online and rack up double O'Rewards points during Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line here on Tiki and Tierney is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Whether you own or rent, GEICO makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote. GEICO.com. I see Nike's come out with some of those new shirts that Rory is rocking on the golf course. I'm going to have to get myself a few for the summer, Teak. Teak and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Next segment, Cody Bellinger just blasted the Astros, nailed it, loved it. And why that is just the first wave of what awaits the Astros. I mean, it's going to be a rough year for them. At least in terms of how they receive. I mean, they'll still be pretty good on the field, but we'll get to that coming up. But, Teak, it's a big one coming up this weekend, Daytona 500, and every year we get with one of the best in the game, and call it the game, right? Mm-hmm. Best in the field. Martin Truex, NASCAR driver, back on the show here, Teak and Tierney. How you feeling there, Martin? What's going on, buddy? You ready to roll?
Yeah, man, I'm doing great, guys. How are y'all?
Awesome.
Yeah, no, we everyone gets excited for the Daytona 500. Put into words how, you know, for our audience that doesn't often hear about NASCAR, the importance of this race relative to the other ones. I mean, points-wise, it all is the same, as we all know, as in the NASCAR chase. But just from a driver standpoint, why is this one so much bigger than all the others?
Yeah, you know, I mean, NASCAR started in Daytona, and this is the world center of racing. It's, you know, the Daytona 500 is the biggest event of the year. It's the most prestigious race in our series, and the fact that it's the first race of the year is kind of crazy, but it's cool. It's really cool to come down here and kick off the season with such a big, huge event.
Yeah, you know, Mark, okay, is that a good thing or a bad thing? You know, right?
Yeah. It's like starting the Masters. Go get them, Tiger. Exactly. No warm-ups.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing. I think everybody's, you know, so jacked up to get the race season started, and that just adds to, you know, what this race is all about and what it's been about for so long. So the history and the prestige, and then, you know, being the first race of the year, everybody's so pumped up. They haven't seen NASCAR in 2 months, and they're just ready to get going. So exciting time of the year for sure. And, you know, we've been close to winning it before. We haven't got it yet, so hopefully it's our year.
Well, that's why you get a little Tiki and Tierney mojo this time, and we mix it up for you. Win it this weekend.
I hope so.
Trust me, we would love to see you bring this thing home. And I know the fans are fired up. It's been a couple of months, as you said. And while it's the birthplace of the sport, every fan base is different. So say the Daytona 500 to the Indianapolis 500, just the energy, the difference characteristics of the fans. How different does it feel?
Well, I think any time you come to a NASCAR race, it's just a huge party. But if you've seen the infield here at Daytona, you would be like, wow, this place is nuts. So yeah. Infield is completely packed. Grandstands, 101,000 sold out for Sunday's race, and just a big, huge event.
Now, yeah, what's going on in the middle of that field? I mean, is it no rules still, or can you still get away with stuff in that? You know what I mean?
There's definitely not many rules.
It's our kind of place.
That's a good thing. Look, you raced for Joe Gibbs Racing now for a couple of years, and you know, for whatever reason, Joe Gibbs Racing has a lock on this. Denny Hamlin won it last year. I know your teammates Eric Jones and Kyle Busch were in the top three as well. What's the secret? If there is one,
honestly, there really is no secret here. I think it's a difficult race. There's so many different cars that, you know, when we come to these really big tracks like this, the cars are very, very equal. So you get in the draft, and I always explain it. It's almost like being in a traffic jam on the highway.
Yeah.
Except we're going 200, 205, and you know the lanes are sometimes one lane moves and you're in the wrong one, and you go. So there's a lot of jockeying for position all day. But you know, JGR has done a good job building, you know, great race cars down here, and obviously we have really good drivers as well. So it takes it all to get it done at this level, and hopefully, you know, like I said, last year we had a tough race here, so hopefully this year will go a little better for us.
Mm-hmm. Martin Truex is with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
So, Martin, I got a personal question, because last year I went down to Pocono and drove the pace car before one of the races, and you know, it's all about, like, you're measuring your speedometer, and correct me if I'm wrong, based on how fast I'm going, right? Because like I can't go 60, I can't go like 52. I gotta like just hold it and like
hold it at what? I forgot what was the number. Do you remember?
Is it 50? 55, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it's 55.
Yeah, 55. Yeah, it's pressure. And like all you guys are jacking around behind me, right? So they're like all like you know swerving back
hurry
and forth,
up,
and they're like pulling up beside me, like diving underneath me. And I'm like holding this car. I'm going 55. Yeah. Look on Route 80 when I go home, I'm going like 85.
Driving like a grandma,
and I'm cool. But on this thing, I'm like driving like a grandma, man. Seriously, because I was so nervous. How important was that role for me driving the pace car? Because I was intimidated, man.
It's not as important as you think.
Oh, come on. Good answer.
You crushed me, man.
All
expand.
You really had to do is keep it on the track.
I told him it wasn't important. I told him, Martin.
I look cool, though. That's all that mattered. I looked the part.
It is cool. It is very cool.
No, I had a great time.
I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
I think I asked you this last year as well, but your answer might be different because every year is uniquely different as you lead up to the race. You know, if I'm getting ready, or me, if Tiger's getting ready or Phil's getting ready to play a golf event, they know my wedge game's a little loose, my drivers, I'm pure in it, I'm good. You know, it is the first race of the season, so the preparation that you make coming into the race, do you know for sure, and obviously it's dependent upon what's around you, I obviously get that, and race and track conditions, but do you know where you are right now in terms of, you know, being mid-season ready, so to speak? Do you have a sense of how you're going to perform or drive, if that even makes sense?
Yeah, I mean, I, based off of experience, you know, I've been doing this a while, and obviously, you know, got the same team I was with last year, and we had a great season, 7 wins and 2nd in the championship, so we feel really good about things. But to your point, it's everybody's had 2 or 2.5 months off to regroup and, you know, make changes on their teams, try to build new cars, try to make things better. So you never truly know until you get to each of these tracks. And every track is different. You know, you could run really good or really bad here at Daytona and do the complete opposite next week at Vegas. So all the tracks are so different. Some teams have a handle on certain tracks better than others. But okay. You know, certainly with our team at JGR, we've been able to, you know, be pretty good just about everywhere here lately.
Yeah, last year, you know, Martin, you mentioned this, you didn't finish. You crashed out at 100 on the 191st lap. You ended up finishing 35th. Now, I don't think there's any, like, carryover. Maybe there is, and that's really the question I'm asking. Like, what do you learn? How do you break through? You finished here, the highest finish you finished at Daytona is 2nd. How do you break through? And do you learn from what happened last season?
Yeah, you definitely learn from each experience, but every year is different. You know, the cars are different this year than they were last year, so you have to keep that in mind and the rules changes. And I'll be honest, a lot of, you know, the Daytona and Talladega, we call them super speedways. And these are tracks where, you know, we're pretty much holding it wide open all the way around. And you're using the draft off the other cars to make your car go faster. And so you're kind of going back to that traffic jam example I gave. If you're in the wrong lane or, you know, everybody's so close together, some guy makes a mistake 10 rows ahead of you. That's what happened to us last year.
Yeah.
Somebody made a mistake, got spun out, caused a 20-car pileup, and we were right in the middle of it. So some of it is about being in the right place at the right time. But, you know, if you can be near the front of the pack, that's probably the best way to survive the big wrecks.
Makes sense. We're talking to Martin Truex, getting ready for the Daytona 500 coming up this weekend. Martin, 26 career wins. Over 100 top fives and over 200 top tens. Mm-hmm. So he has been peppered prominently on the leaderboard many times. He's with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
Now, Martin, I know you're mostly, you know, concerned with your teammates and how your cars are performing, but this is Jimmy Johnson stepping down out of his car after this season. You know, what's he meant to this racing and to the world? I know you guys are everybody's friends in this establishment. I'm assuming it's not like. Well, maybe you're not. Sometimes you get crashed out. You don't like those guys, but you know what I mean. But Jimmy Johnson's gonna pull out of his car after this year. What's he meant? And what's he meant to you if you have a relationship with him?
Well, I think he's meant a ton to this sport. And if you look at what he's done, and you go back through the years, there's only been 2 other guys that won 7 championships, and I feel like, you know, Jimmy did it probably when the racing was more competitive or there was more challengers, so to speak. And to see, you know, what he did throughout his career, the numbers are absolutely just incredible. So he's been a ton of the sport. He's been a great champion. But, you know, as far as knowing Jimmy, I don't know if either of you do, but just one of the nicest down-to-earth guys you'll ever meet. And I'll never forget I met him for the first time when I first moved to North Carolina to race in the Busch Series back in, I guess it was 2003. And he's literally the same exact guy today as he was then. And he's just a great guy. Does a lot for other people. And really just carries himself well. So he's become a good friend over the years. Definitely a great great ambassador for NASCAR.
Yeah, no, that's good to hear. Now, my Jimmy Johnson story is really through my wife. My wife works for Culture City, which is an autism organization. So they were making Pocono sensory inclusive for kids with autism or sensory issues. And so she got to do a ride around with Jimmy at the track. And she just, like, sends me this FaceTime or this video. And she's like screaming her head off. Like,
was she driving or she
was shotgun? No, Jimmy was driving. Oh, okay, okay. But he was like scared the hell out of her because he was going so fast. But she said he was amazing. And I got to meet him when I was there. At Pocono as well. So, yeah, he is a phenomenal ambassador for the sport, and I'm sure he'll be involved in some way.
She wasn't too scared to FaceTime you, though.
No, she wasn't. She's like, save me, I'm dying.
Oh, man. Hey, have a great race, man. Honestly, strap in, go get it, and have a great run there.
Oh, I really appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Thanks for hopping on, Martin.
Martin Truex, NASCAR, get ready.
I think he's 18-1. I think he's got the second best odds in the field.
I can say I've never gambled on a NASCAR.
10-1, I think, is the top odds. He's 18-1, so we'll see.
Interesting. You mean we'll see? You might wager on that, or maybe. That might change.
Maybe.
You're not going to wager on that.
I mean, it's about time for him to break through.
Listen. I'm not saying 18-1. This is not enticing.
Sampton, where's he starting? Do you know? Do you have it off the top of I know he's not on the pole because the Ricky Stenhouse is on the pole and Bowman and Alex Bowman is up in the front row with him. But
And be honest, you thought your role was a little more important than it actually was, didn't you?
I totally did.
Because you're starting the race, because the dude
is telling me. Yeah. Don't go 56.
That's impossible. I mean, you're not a robot.
Yeah,
you might tap 56.
I know, but he's like, you just got to stay there because they're measuring off of you. And I'm like, all right. And they're just like swerving back and forth behind me, right? Because they're warming up their tires and they're flying up next to me. They can't pass you, but they're just like flying up next to you.
Yeah.
I don't know, gesturing at me.
I was
literally nervous as hell.
I could see why. I would probably be nervous too. I mean, he's just saying, just keep it on the track. I mean, you're making it out to be, you're going to determine.
Just like, hold the line, man. Hold the line. Hold the line. Martin Truex Jr. starting 11th at Daytona.
All right. There you go. Coming up. So we heard from the Astros. We heard from the Astros. Now we hear from an MVP who just eviscerates him, and I love every minute of it. Jay Berman's update is now. We'll get to the baseball stuff after that. Here's Jay. This weekend on CBS, the PGA Tour features a field including Tiger Woods. Tiger's going to get out early tomorrow.
Tiger who?
Tiger Woods for this event. You know, you got to be a little bit better than -1 to get the woo. But he's still Tiger Woods. I probably could have played along. Tiger Woods and the top 5 golfers in the world competing at the Genesis Invitational. Teak and I have it on in studio right now. Keep an eye on things. Saturday and Sunday at 3 Eastern, noon Pacific, only on CBS. Mickelson, who got himself in really good shape, looked like he lost a good 25, 30 pounds.
He
fluctuates. His weight fluctuates because he does a lot of fasting, which can't be great for
much. I mean, there's certain like schools of thought that intermittent fasting like that is really good for you.
Just kind of reset the body?
Yeah, exactly right. It resets your body. In fact, and I only know this because I researched a lot of this for marathon running. A lot of elite runners the week before a marathon, they won't eat carbs for 2 days, so they'll carb fast for like 2 days or so, and then because it depletes their levels, and then they build it back up right before the race.
Night before the race, they had the pasta,
or two nights or a night before the race, they'll build back up their carb, capacity. So it's still different philosophies, but I've never been into that. I've always been. Stay balanced.
Yeah, you're also blessed with a body that you don't.
I just work out. I just work out a ton.
I know you work out. I know you work out.
But yes, I did. I did have the right genetics.
Genes. Come on,
I had the right genetics.
All right. I mean,
mom and dad were good.
Look at us. I mean, we're hanging off a dear life. Look at these guys over there.
Sampter, when was the last time you worked out?
Like went to a gym, worked out.
Yeah, like
I asked him the same question. You were off one day. I asked him the same thing.
What's the last time you worked out?
Never. I honestly could not remember.
It's probably the last time you ran like a half marathon, right?
Yeah, I mean, I run a lot. I bike all the time.
Well, that's working out.
I stay
dude.
Active. I just don't go to the gym. And so like the last time I worked out, I mean,
when was the last time that you intentionally like broke
had
a sweat?
Gym membership?
Well, not that because I don't have. I mean, I do have one, but I never
go.
And
do the hot? What do you do? The hot yoga? The hot burrito?
Yeah.
What is that thing called?
Bikram.
Hot Bikram.
Yeah. I can just call it hot yoga now because there was this Netflix documentary about Chandra Bikram that was disturbing.
Really?
Yeah. It was, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. He was a bad dude.
He's a weird one.
Yeah.
Probably stay away from
but
it, too.
The yoga's great.
Yeah.
Forget him. But D-Cell, when was the last time you actively did something to like work out, not like ride your bike back to work or home like Samter does?
The day before I met my wife. Haven't done anything since.
See, let me interject for a second.
Really?
He said the same thing when you were out. Here's what I don't understand. So you just got married, and Samter just got married. Now, I always joke around that Tiki's vain. I'm also a little vain, not as much as Tiki, but I'm a little vain. If I were you guys, because I did this, although I was in pretty good shape before I got married, I mean, I was going to the gym blasting. Like, I wanted to look good in my tuxedo. I wanted to look good when we went on our honeymoon. Uh-huh. Like, you didn't do a damn thing before you got married?
Before I got married, no. It'll probably hit me one day. It's going to if I keep going the way I'm going.
I mean, you're still young enough where you're not, like, it's not a struggle.
It'll catch up with me.
Yeah, it will.
Always does.
It always does.
What are you guys doing for your first Valentine's? Can you divulge? I don't know. I know sometimes the wives won't.
No, because they're listening. Watch. They're listening.
Well, they're not always. I can't say. Gotcha.
They'll find out later.
All right. I won't put anybody in a bad spot. I understand.
Put them in a bad spot.
I thought the apologies were whatever. I thought Jim Crane's was weak. I thought Manfred's punishment was weak, giving him immunity. I mean, these guys were cheating for 3 years. Altuve stole an MVP from Judge in 17. Everyone knows they stole the ring from us. But, you know, it's over. They apologized. They went together and apologized. And, you know, it is what it is now.
Okay. Mm. So, in one swooping takedown, Crane, Manfred, Altuve, with the reference to 2017 when Aaron Judge won the finished second. I think Judge had like 235 votes, and I think Altuve was 4-ish, 405, 410. So, it was a pretty wide gap, but, you know, who knows. And he basically leveled everybody involved. And he's absolutely right. And what he said echoes the sentiments of every single baseball player.
That's right.
Not everybody's brazen enough to quite say it like that.
But they're pissed.
I love it.
These guys are pissed. And they understand that, like, I understand saying you're sorry is like stage one, but it's going to take a long time for these guys to be, I don't know, respected again. And I guess the only way to do that is to go ball, right? And be great despite, you know, what's going on around you and the noise and the boos that certainly are going to come from every away game that they play. Hell, they might even get boos at home.
They won't get booed.
You know what I mean? But still, it's just like, it's one of those things that this is lasting.
I've been telling you that.
This is not going to leave their resumes.
No.
And it's funny because, like, you think about Jose Altuve. And I've had this conversation with so many of my friends.
Okay.
He's 5'7".
You're 5 foot nothing.
He is. but he's been great.
He has been awesome.
But you go back, I just actually had this conversation with Samter this afternoon in the newsroom before the show. I never look at baseball stats like you do. You dive into them deep, especially the minor league ones.
Love
when you go to baseball cube,
et cetera. Yep.
So I went and just looked at his stats. I'm like, all right, when did this sign stealing things happen? Because prior to that, he his rookie season, he had like 263, and then it was like 270 something, and it was like
276 as a rookie, 290 in a second.
290, and it was like 283, right? His third year, and then he balloons to 340. Right, I'm like, wait, this thing start in 2014? We talk about bolding all the time. Like, he's a bolder. He's got a lot of bold on his baseball reference page, Jose Altuve, and a lot of it is after this kind of started. So, I mean, like, how much of it is attributable to the fact that he knew it was coming?
I don't think nearly as much as some people want to make it out to be. The kid's a star.
I agree. But doesn't he, and again, this is just conversations that we've had, doesn't he have to have, like, hit 310 and, you know, 25 home runs and prove that he is that guy?
Yes.
He has to do that.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, whether it's fair or not, and it's not fair. Forget whether it's fair or not, because it is unfair. We will say, well, you only were that good because you were stealing signs, because you knew it was coming.
Boy, that would be.
It's unfair, but that's what's on his plate right now.
That's why he needed to be a lot better with the apology.
That's right. The canned.
More forceful.
Yep.
It was horrendous.
The canned, written, prepared statement just sounded terrible.
We don't believe you.
I get it because English is a second language. And so, you know, if he had delivered this in Spanish, it would have been different. But maybe he should
translate.
Maybe
next
he should have
something this
exactly
important.
Right. Maybe he should have.
Yeah,
because it didn't sound right.
No,
and guys are like Cody Bellinger are teeing off on him.
And it's just starting. And I think what could happen, Mike, you have him? Okay, I'm gonna get back to you for a second. I got you in a sec, Mike. What could happen is that as everybody levies these hard, fair, but harsh takes at the Astros, like Bellinger, if I'm an Astro player, I'm going to start getting a little riled up. And I think that everybody thinks that the opponents will be the aggressors because I expect beanballs. I'm not advocating it, but I expect beanballs. I expect a few bench. Now, I don't know if fists will be flying like the 80s, but benches will clear. They'll be chirping. Mm-hmm. Book it. Guarantee it. It's going to happen within the first week of the season.
No doubt about it.
Book it. So, but what I wonder is if the Astros now, as they sit there in spring training and every day get bombarded with their peers calling them cheaters and classless and liars and everything else that they've said, which they've said, if the Astros don't take it upon themselves to be the aggressors and maybe throw some high heat or take somebody out at second base, throw under Bellinger's chin. I don't know. Yeah. But this is not going to end. No. It's going to end. How about this, too? Imagine, now it's a little quirky, admittedly. But we talked about this week. Imagine if they actually implement in 2022, the ability to choose your opponent in the playoffs. Imagine if that applied this year.
Yeah.
If I'm the Astros, you know what I would do? I want the Yankees. I want to play the Yankees as soon as I can. I don't want to bypass the Yankees and Gerrit Cole and Aaron Judge and Gleyber Torres and hopefully Stanton's healthy and all the stars they have, Sanchez. I want to play the Yankees because I want to beat the Yankees. Like that could be their mindset, or should be.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of their only choice, right? Because they can only be weak, like feel weak for so long before, as competitors, you had enough.
You snap a little bit?
Yeah.
Now, I was asking Mike to look it up, because when you lead Major League Baseball four straight years in hits, well over 200 hits, in the absolute prime of his career. He was a little bit banged up last year. People forget, but Altuve was a little hurt, didn't hit over 300, missed some games, doesn't steal, doesn't run the way he used to. Still a great player, but I believe he's lost about 10 to 12-ish percent of that dynamic element to his game, and he might not ever get it back, because I don't think he's on steroids, so I think he's going to age more naturally, which could, think about this, could further complicate his legacy, because if he just ages out a little, instead of hitting 350, he hits 302, 297, maybe 311, 289. People say, wow, look at the coincidence here.
Yeah.
As soon as you got pinched with the buzzer, even though he denied it, and MLB ruled on what they wrote with the Astros, you stopped being a superstar. But it really started last year, if you actually watch him. He wasn't quite the same guy.
Yeah.
So I asked Sampton to look up his numbers in the minors, because you don't just roll out of bed and rip off 230 hits against the best pitchers in the world every year unless you're a superstar. I have not looked at this. His baseball cube, minor league. I have to guess that he had multiple seasons where he hit at least 330 in the minors. At whether it's high A, whether it's double A, there's no way he didn't hit 320, 330, 340. He had to.
So he had 2 years over 360 in high A ball and in double A.
There you go.
In six games in triple A, which most of that, five of those games were in 2019, and one was in 2018. So this is when he was hurt and recovering. He hit 208. So I don't really count those, because those were he was already a major league player at that point, and he was just recovering and coming back from injury. So his last 2 years in the minors, high A ball and double A ball before getting called up to the majors, he hit 361 and 362 overall in his career. He's a 322 hitter in the minors, 30 home runs in 324 games. So that's about 15 home runs a major league season around.
Yeah,
if you break it down, 162.
And he had to have a ton of steals. I bet you ran 30-40 steals a few seasons, because he had a few of those in majors. He led the league in steals.
Yeah, 39 steals 1 year, 40 steals another, 22 another.
Superstar.
So, yep.
Now Tiki brought up before that his numbers in his first 4 or 5 years in the majors weren't very good. He went from like 280 and then exploded to 340 in 2014.
Now, that could just be figuring it out. I mean,
that could just be. But
you're there full time. It's a different, different grind. And
better hitters around you.
Yeah, exactly.
Getting better pitches to hit.
And they certainly have. I mean, that was the story of the Astros, is their farm system. It's like all these kids were great.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, definitely better hitters around them.
And just to conclude it, Mike, you think about it, and obviously Tiki came up at the age of 21 in 2011. So some of those years where he's hitting 360, he's like a 19-year-old kid.
Yeah.
I mean, because he didn't play in college, so he came right from the island. So to discredit Altuve as anything but a surgeon with the bat is unfair.
Agreed.
But he's made his own bed.
That's right. And the circumstances of what of his decline, whether it's, again, fair or not. And again, he might be great, and that would be the best thing for him, to be honest with you, because it would shut everybody up.
He's going to have a big season.
And for his sake, I hope he does.
I think he will.
I really do.
Yeah.
Because you loved him. Right, he was clutch.
He was. But I had so much respect for that team.
He knew an 84-mile-an-hour off-speed was coming against Aroldis Chapman.
He took
a yard.
You know what's amazing? I've never, and they beat my team, but it's all good, or it was. I've never had more respect or liked a non-Yankee team more than I did those Astros before this came out. And now I've never, I mean, you hate the Red Sox for the rivalry.
Yeah.
Now I've never had such contempt and disdain for a franchise.
It's a good switch, right?
You know, a different contempt than you do for the Red Sox because you want to beat them.
I know what you mean.
Oh, man, crazy stuff. All right, third hour coming up. Myles Garrett, can he restore his reputation? We'll get to that. Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.